Welcome. I think we have a great show this week. It's all about Prism. It's one of the hottest topics out there, and deservedly so. It's pretty cool. This week, we interview Patterns and Practices team members David Hill and Bob Brumfield. I say we because Sean Wildermuth was also there. He asked a couple of questions, and he also answers a couple of questions.
So let's talk about one of the coolest sounding pieces of Prism, Commanding. What does it give us, right?
So commanding is effectively a way to hang some type of instruction off of, say, a view model or a presenter, and you want to execute that from something like a button click or some other event, right? And you want to be able to tie that together so basically when you click the button, instead of going to code behind, you really want something offered up by your view model or something behind the scenes that you've made testable, and connect that to that particular invocation, right? So I click the button, I execute something on the view model. And commanding allows you to connect those two pieces together.
So most of the time in Silverlight 2, we'll wire up the button's click event, we'll do a little bit of stuff in the code behind, if we're good, and if we're bad, we'll do a lot of stuff in the code behind, right? And we'll pass it on, and that sort of gives us the ability to jump over the code behind fire.
Yeah.
Not everyone agrees with the philosophy, but
Do you have a contrarian view? Or?
No, not at all. But in my opinion, I won't say view, but in my opinion, the closer you can get to a view being purely XAML, the better. Okay. You can actually see this pattern in the MVC framework as well.
Right.
One of the reasons there are only ASPX views now in the MVC framework is because a view is all about markup and is not about logic. And so as close as you can get to no code. And Silverlight 2, sometimes you need a couple because of some limitations of the framework. 3, it gets better. At WPF, it's pretty easy to do, actually. So because of that, you don't want to have to handle the mouse click or the selection change and then fire off something in the view model, because that implies that I'm going to know who the view model is and have a pointer to it to bind to. This allows you to bind to verbs.
Oh, so that's interesting, right? Yeah, because when you do it in the angle brackets, when you specify the command in the angle brackets, there's a little bit of indirection there. You don't know exactly who you're binding to. Yeah, I like that. So
it's commands. You know, if you think about an event handler, it's a fairly low level thing. A command is a higher level thing, and you can have a richer conversation between interaction between the UI element and the functionality that you represent by that command.
No, I'm not sure I understand that, right? Because if I'm using code behind, I can be as rich in my interaction as I can.
So if you put let's take a simple example, if you have a button with a click event handler, then when you click it, you go to the event handler. Mm-hmm. But that's an event handler, so you have a reference to the button that sent the event, and it's very tempting at that point to mix your presentation.
I like to use the word tempting, yes.
Right. So, but what a command does is an abstraction above that a little bit. So you can say, I represent the functionality by this command, the save function, for example, but I can also enable and disable that, and that automatically updates the status of the visual that represents it, the button in this case. So I have a richer interaction between the functionality and the UI that represents it in the interface, but with a very clean separation that doesn't give me direct references to buttons and event handlers and that kind of thing. So I get a richer interaction that can be specified purely declaratively with no event handler code behind that's difficult to test. And I get a cleaner separation so that I can actually unit test the functionality behind the command without having any UI on it at all.
So let's say I buy in, and I do, as a matter of fact. I like commands. They're great. So I crack open Prism and I start taking a look for the commands, and I find, you know, precisely one, button click. Now, a very useful command.
Yes.
But it's the only one I find, and what do I do now?
So there's two parts of the equation. One is the command itself, which is represented in Prism. We have a thing called delegate command, which is an implementation of the I command interface that's part of Silverlight 2. And that allows us to implement the command's functionality on the view model through two little callbacks. So one callback does the actual implementation of the command, and one is a callback that tells us whether the command's enabled or disabled at that point in time.
So we have this option of can you do your thing, right? And then do your thing.
Yeah, so can you save? Yes, I can. Well, okay, save, and then you can implement all of that. And then there's the second half of the equation is how you actually hook that up to the UI element. Mm-hmm. So in WPF, the controls have inbuilt understanding of commands. Mm-hmm. So you can say button command equals, and you can give it you can bind it to a command, for example. In Silverlight, you don't yet have that. So what we did in Prism was we had an attached behavior, which is a small kind of helper class that sits in the middle between the button and the command. And this attached behavior, it's a very simple but very powerful pattern that allows, it's almost like an extension method in a way for UI controls. Mm-hmm. You can attach behavior to an existing UI control. So the button doesn't know anything about command, but this attached behavior can sit in the middle. It'll subscribe to the click event, and then when you click it, it will forward on the call to the command that you're bound to. And then when the command becomes enabled or disabled, it will make the button enabled or disabled to suit it. It's kind of this thing that sits in the middle there.
So you had to build up, you know, a fair amount of plumbing to get these guys attached and firing properly, right?
Yep.
So let's say I want to do, you know, something else, you know, list box selection changed or something, yep. Right? I'm looking at, you know, 2 lines of code, 10 lines of code, 20 lines of code. How much to get that event wired up?
Yeah, so I don't remember exactly how many lines
it was. We can ballpark it.
I guess
my point is, I was trying to lead in a little bit. It's not two, right? It's not two,
but it's not 100, right? Maybe. So it's somewhere in between. You basically have to build something that knows how to hook to the event that you want to hook to. Mm-hmm. We do offer up some base classes that help you dispatch that to the right commanding bit. So we help a little bit. We don't help, we haven't implemented this for every event for every control, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just there. There is some work that's involved, right? So you typically have to build some type of dependency property as well as then hook up to the right event and then dispatch it to the command through this helper class. It's a base class that you can inherit from to help with that dispatch. So that we do some of the work for you, but not all.
But it's mostly plumbing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I built selection change for the article, and almost all of it is just plumbing. Mm-hmm. And so much like creating a dependency or attached property, a lot of it's plumbing. So most of it could be simplified with a snippet, mm-hmm. which is how dependency and attached properties usually are simplified. So a lot of it just, we have to have these couple things, they have to point at the right types. And some of the way that the click event, or the click command works, really doesn't apply. Like the selection change, there's really no need for can run or not. Because there's nothing to disable.
Right.
Disable an element inside. And so I think it would be easy for them to have built a bunch of them and have made the wrong assumptions. Mm. So
you're actually happy with that decision?
I am. Yeah. I am. Because there's going to... I don't want people building hundreds of these in their apps, but a small collection or letting it be a Code Plus project, a contributor project,
right.
fill in some of that holes. Because... the ones that are really important, click and selection change are the two most important in my opinion.
Right.
But there's going to be a bunch of other little ones that I don't want them to balloon, especially in the Silverlight story, balloon the framework just so that you have more out of the box.
Just out of curiosity, I haven't seen this yet, but have you seen any places where we can actually grab those from CodePlex or anywhere else yet?
No, the stuff that I did, I'm trying to figure out where it belongs, what project. I do a lot with the Silverlight extensions and Silverlight mm-hmm. contrib, which are kind of merging right now, and so maybe there, or maybe there's a Prism contrib project that it more
there is a Prism
more,
contrib, I think so.
Yeah, it didn't seem like there was a lot of activity.
Yeah, right now.
Whereas the Silverlight contrib one has a lot of activity and they're pretty far reach. So I don't know where to put this code. Mm-hmm. Right now, there isn't one, but the Silverlight contrib one is an interesting place to put some of the stuff for Silverlight, especially because of the they're already doing things like snippets as well as framework code, and they had more of a kind of complete end-to-end.
So, Sean, how many lines of code was it?
About 45.
45.
Okay. Yeah.
So it is less than 100.
Less than 100.
Literally, I used editor inheritance to write it.
Okay.
So I went to look at the click one, and I copied what they had, and I changed it.
Yeah,
I think
we have a how-to about how to do this, or it's part of the documentation, but I don't remember exactly how. How much effort was involved?
It's not a lot of effort. It really is. Most of it's plumbing. A couple of lines that matter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a lot of ways. Okay, change this name every place and change the type of the control from button to items container and all that sort of idea, or selector, I mean. But it's not hard.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in Silverlight 2 or Silverlight 3, go ahead and check out our website, silverbaylabs.org. That's our company where we do consulting and mentoring services for both Silverlight 2 and Silverlight 3. If you're interested in Silverlight training, see the Silverlight Tour, where I'm also an instructor.